Hi, this is Casey Treat. I'm pastor at Christian Faith, and we are excited to have you with us on our podcast. Thanks for joining in. I'm praying that you're going to hear a word that will inspire you, empower you to connect with Jesus and become more like him. That's what we live for. That's what's happening on today's podcast.
Okay, I want to talk about purpose for a few minutes today. We've been on a journey really working out purpose in our lives. And what does it mean to have purpose? What is purpose? How do I find my purpose? And I've been building to this message for a few weeks. And apparently I drank too much last service. And we're good. I'll grab it in a second. I mean, we'll see if I need it. I might start preaching in a minute and need it. And I've been building to this idea of purpose. We've been talking beginning of the year that you got to understand your identity. Jesus says to live out your identity. So purpose comes out of identity. Life comes from identity. We've been talking about environments, that some seed can't grow in some environments. I couldn't take an orange tree from Florida and plant it up here and it succeed. Not because of the seed, not because of the soil, not because of the water, but because of the environment. Many of us are struggling with our purpose simply because of our environments. We were talking last week about that my work is my worship, that I place my life, I'm a living sacrifice. So we've been building to this idea, and I've been trying to kind of tear down some of the misunderstandings of purpose. But today, I really want to attack the idea itself, the core of purpose, because I think many of us still don't understand fully purpose. Can I say it this way? We still are attempting to live out godly purpose with a secular understanding. That'll make sense in a bit. But we're attempting to live the purpose that God has for us and built for us and created for us. We're trying to live a kingdom principle in an earthly kingdom. The problem with that is if we're still submitted to the definition or the idea of purpose from this world, we'll struggle living his ideas out. See, we got to bring the kingdom to this world. We can't live this world and attempt to. My point is you can't put the clothes on of the world and look like Jesus. And many of us, when it comes to purpose, our purpose is still wrapped in the things of the world. And so this word purpose, let me tell you, if you're studying it in the Greek, if you read purpose in the New Testament, the Greek word is prothesis. It suggests a deliberate plan, an intent or a design. Prothesis, it means there's an intended design, and that's purpose. And isn't that at the core of all of us? That I want to know my intended design. God, what did you design me for? What was the intent you had when you formed me in my mother's womb? Why am I here? Isn't that the deepest cries of all of our hearts? Isn't that what our soul longs for? If I could set up a coffee with you and Jesus and you were sitting with him, wouldn't you want to leave that coffee date making sure you knew why you exist? Like, come on, Jesus, just tell me, why am I here? What was my intended design to be here? What's the point of my life? And here's the struggle. Many of us ask that question, and then when we get to that fill in the blank, we fill it in with the wrong answer. Why do I exist? What was my intended design? And a lot of men fall into this trap, although a lot of people do, but it really hits men, that we try to achieve and a success. And so we want the job and the career. And so it gives us value and it gives us meaning. And if we make more money and if we have more notoriety. And so here's the problem. If you start thinking that your purpose is attached to your job or career or your production, what happens to you if you lose your job? What happens if you don't get the raise? What happens if you get the demotion? What happens if the economy goes down and your finances go down? What happens if your investments dry up, if the stock market goes down? All of a sudden, what you inserted into that, what you thought your purpose was, you realize it's fragile, it's breakable. Some of us have purpose, and then when that purpose runs its course, we lose ourselves. You lose the job, the company closes, or even better, you ran that race well and you retire. Now what? It happens a lot to moms where they feel like their purpose is to raise these kids, and then all of a sudden all the kids move out of the house, and now who am I? And they fall apart and they lose themselves. And they're why? Because we filled in that blank incorrectly. Those are good things. Having a great job, that's great. Having a company, that's great. Raising kids, that's great. But if you thought that was your purpose, when that runs its course or is stopped, then all of a sudden, where are you left? And so many of us today, not just in the church, but in the world today, we've answered that question incorrectly. And so we're living shallow lives because we think our purpose is to make money, or we think our purpose is to have the company. We think our purpose is to have a career. We think our purpose is in the home. And those are all great things, but those aren't the thing you were created for. So what is this intended design? Well, catch this. So as you study, and this prothesis, this Greek word, it's translated purpose, but it's also translated showbread, which when I first started reading and studying made zero sense to me. You're telling me, God, that the authors of the Bible wrote prothesis for purpose and bread. Like, I love sourdough like everyone else, but I don't love it that much. Like, don't mess with my wife's sourdough starter up in here. Your little bread starter, oh, don't mess with that. Like, it's great, she loves it. But how in the world is bread and purpose connected? Did we mistranslate? Did we miss it? How is this singular Greek word, prothesis, before a place, how does that translate purpose and showbread? And here's how it connects. See, and I'm gonna try to slowly take you through this because it's not hard to understand, but it's counterintuitive. It's not hard for you to catch, but it's gonna go against everything that you've built around the idea of purpose to the day. Because culture has built purpose one way, God has purpose a completely different way. So it's not gonna submit and it's not gonna fit into the box that you think purpose is. So I gotta take that, you gotta tear that box down for a second. Showbread was the bread that the priest baked and placed before the Lord in the temple. So you could do a study, you could read about the temple, the tabernacle, all the stuff that God did through the Old Testament into the New Testament, what the priest did to bake the showbread, to prepare the showbread, to place it in the temple before the Lord. And here's what it means. Showbread simply means to place before, and your purpose also means to place before. What I'm trying to tell you today is purpose isn't findable because you are the purpose. So the box is in culture, I gotta find my purpose. And the reason that they can't find it is because it's unfindable, because it's not a thing, it's you. So prothesis, before a place, it simply means, if you put it into modern terms, it means to place before. So purpose means to place before. And this bread's intended design, it was solely created to be placed before the presence of God. And your purpose, who you are, was solely created to be placed before. That's you. You are the purpose. Okay, let me say it this way to help process this. I have three kids. I love being a dad more than anything on the planet. I love it. And when we were in the process of gearing up to start having grow our family, and my first child, Willow, she's 13 now, getting big, but 13 years ago, ready to have kids. When we had our first child, I did not have a child to get a flight attendant. My wife's a flight attendant. So I wasn't like, I want a little flight attendant. And I didn't have my firstborn, the apple of my eye. I mean, she looks like me, talks like me, thinks like me, acts a little too much like me sometimes. I just love this girl. And I did not have her to have an heir one day to give this all to. I was like, oh, I better get another one because I'm not doing this forever. My parents did it for 45 years. I don't know if I got 45 in me. I better have another one quick. That was a joke-ish. We'll see. I didn't have kids for them to be something specific. I had kids because I just wanted a daughter. She was the point. She was the goal. I wasn't looking for a flight attendant. I was looking for a daughter. And when God forms you in your mother's womb, he was not looking for a doctor or a lawyer or an architect. He was looking for a son. He was looking for a daughter. And so your purpose is simply to be you, to be who he created you to be, which is a son. Like, so many of us are looking for purpose out there. And he's like, there isn't purpose to find. You're the purpose. I created you. You are my purpose. Are y'all getting this today? You're the purpose. It's not what you do. You can become a doctor, and that's great. A lawyer, awesome. An entrepreneur, brilliant. You could write songs, amazing. You could do a lot, and that's awesome. But that wasn't the point. That's not why he created you. He formed you in your mother's womb because he was looking for sons and daughters. You are the purpose. It's already enough. We just sang it. You're complete. You're full. It's done. Stop chasing what you'll never reach. You'll never achieve. The world has created this idea, this carrot in front of you. And if you could just keep chasing it, eventually one day you'll get it. The problem is there's nothing there because you were the purpose all along. God created you to love you, to be in relationship with you. It's you. It's not something. You are the purpose. Have you ever seen an iceberg? Maybe not in person, but you've seen them on parents. Show me this photo of an iceberg, guys. Y'all, how much of that thing is underwater? Most of it. Most of this, here, show me the tree. So much of this tree is unseen. The roots, all of the life comes from what you don't see. All of the strength, all of the fruit, everything that's healthy comes from the unseen. And if you were to take away what's unseen, you would quickly lose what is seen. That iceberg, the majority of it is underwater. So here's my point with these two images. Until you focus more on the inside, the outside will always be wanting. Until the inner you is bigger than the outer you, you'll always struggle. Until what matters more is your heart, is your character, it's the relationship you have with God inside. Until the roots matter more than the fruit, you'll always be chasing. So, go, man, how do I get to a place where I realize I am the purpose, that who I am is what's most important? How do I get to that place? We gotta focus on growing your roots. We gotta focus on the inner person. When you as a person inside are bigger than the person we see on the outside, when your character is deeper, when your strength internally is strong enough to carry the fruit externally, then all of a sudden God can start adding to your life in ways that you never dreamed or imagined. But too many of us are chasing the fruit, but we're not growing the roots. But once you realize that purpose isn't findable, so I can stop chasing, I can stop trying, I can simply accept this is who I am, that I am the purpose, that I'm the focus, that God loves me, that God wants me, that it's not what I'm doing for him that he cares about. It's me being there that he cares about. You know, I remember years ago realizing that God was more concerned with having me, not with me having a good message. You know, because there was the first few years when I started to preach, I was so consumed with, I would go home and beat myself up over what I said up here. Man, did I say it good enough? Did they get it? Did they understand it? Did it make sense? Was it unbiblical? I'll be looking at Terry. He sits on the phone. I'm like, am I saying something that's not spiritual? You know, I'm like, is this incorrect? I was so nervous. And then I finally realized God wanted me more than what I had to say. He wants you more than your company. He wants you more than what you could do. You're the purpose. So I said, okay, how do I build my life from the inside out? Go with me to Matthew 6:33. You can answer that. Tell them to listen. Put it on speaker. I got a word for them. They need this too. I'm kidding. Matthew 6:33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Seek first. Then they get added. Seek first. Now, this first carries a connotation not just of top of the list, but highest of priority, which is a difference. See, what Jesus is, he's not saying, seek me first on your to-do list. Like, first you read your Bible in the morning and then do everything else. What he's meaning is seek me with the highest priority. Because once your seeking after Jesus is your highest priority, it reprioritizes everything else. See, when I seek him first, when he's the highest priority, man, do you remember when you were pursuing your wife's? Seeking your wife. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Some of you guys? The old school, when you had to like talk to people? Yeah. Not this online trash. Kids just sitting at tables texting each other nowadays. How's it going? I remember seeking Krista, and because I was seeking her all with everything I had, she was a high priority on my list. That reprioritized the rest of my list. Tell me I'm lying. It was like a natural reprioritization. Everything else, it was like if she hit me back, all of a sudden something got to wait. She's like, what are you doing right now? I was like, nothing. Weirdly, I'm open right now. I'm totally free. Now, what are you doing right now? I will come to you. She's like, well, I'm a flight attendant. I'm in Alaska. I'm like, great. I'll be on a flight. Why? Because I was seeking after her. And so it reprioritized everything else in my life. I didn't care. There were some people wanting to hang out. I was like, I ain't got time for you. I'm seeking. Hey, what are you doing Friday night? I don't know yet. I'm seeking. I'll let you know if I'm free. If she's busy, I'm open. If she's got time, nope, ain't got time for you. Why? Because she wasn't just the first thing I sought. She was the highest priority I was seeking. And so reprioritize. See, so Jesus is saying, seek first. Seek me as your highest priority. Then all these things will be added unto you. See, here's the point. Here's the problem. Many of us seek God on behalf of other things. See, so we're seeking God. I'm deep now. You guys nervous? I like being back here. When we seek God, we're seeking him on behalf of things. God, I'm looking for you to answer my prayer. I'm looking for you for healing. I'm looking for you for, and then, so you're really not seeking God to find God. You're looking for God to answer your problems. So in essence, what you're really seeking first is this issue. You just think he can help solve your highest priority. Does that make sense? But he says, no, seek me first. Me. So I want you to find me. I don't want you to find my benefits first. I don't want you to find my solutions, my answers, my healing, my provisions. I want you to look for me. And once you've found me, then all these things will be added. And many of us are seeking God on behalf of other things. But God's like, no, I need you to seek me first. See, that's when the roots in your life start to branch out, start to grow, start to strengthen. And then once those roots grow, all of a sudden the fruit starts to grow. Seek God first. In Matthew 7:7, it says, ask and it'll be given. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be open unto you. I love that part in it. Seek, and you will find. What are you seeking today? What are you looking for? What are you after? Is it God? Are you seeking after God? Are you looking for God? You know, when God says, seek me, it's not because you're lost or he's lost. It's because you want to know more of. See, when I seek my wife, it's not that I'm lost or I lost her. I seek things out in Krista because I want to know Krista more. I want to know more of her. I want to know her more intimate. So when I seek her, it's not that I've lost her. It's I want to know more of her. And so when you seek out the things of God, it's not that you're lost or he's lost. It's I want to know you more. I want to know you deeper. I want to know you more intimate. I want to seek you out early in the morning. I want to seek you out at work. I want to seek you on my drive. I want to seek you in my marriage. I want to seek you as a parent. I want more of you. As I seek, I will find. You know, all of us are seeking something. And I think often the problems in our life are revealing the things we're seeking. The struggles in our life reveal the things we're seeking. Can I even go as far as to say, I think the fears in our life reveal the things we seek. See, many of us are seeking fame, or we're seeking success, or we're seeking comfort, or we're seeking more money. And then you live with this knot in your stomach that you don't have enough. Well, it's because you're seeking more. And so it's the byproduct, it's the offspring, it's the ripples that come as you seek after your job, or you seek relationships, or you seek comforts. It produces this fruit of fear in your life because you're seeking the wrong thing. But when you start to seek God, it says all these things will be added. Too many of us are seeking the wrong thing. I remember years ago, as I was just really getting out of college and trying to figure out what was next in my life, I felt, I don't know, how many of you guys have ever been in a season where you just feel like, God, I'm doing everything I can, but I can't hear a whisper from you? Anyone has ever been in that season where you're like, God, I'm doing everything I can. Can I just buy a vowel? Can I get something from you, God? Like, give me a few syllables. Give me a letter or two and I'll fill in the blank. I'll figure this thing out, but I can't hear nothing. Man, I just remember this season. It was so dry. I was just standing in faith, crying out to God for, it felt like a year. And I remember as clear as day, I'm sitting at a youth conference in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And out of nowhere, I was just crying out still, worshiping still. I just couldn't sense him. I couldn't hear him. I couldn't get direction. And I remember in that season of my life being so afraid of what to do, where to go. I was like, man, I was terrified of what my dad did. I was like, I don't want a microphone. I'm so afraid to preach. I was terrified of the other leaders in my life, the youth pastors, the worship pastors. Some doors had closed of opportunities for careers and roles outside of ministry. I was like, well, I don't know what to do, God. And I'm sitting there in this church conference and I hear as clear as day, God say, I'm calling you to be a seeker. I said, what does that mean? Tell me more. Like, I'm all ears. He goes, you seek me. If you will submit yourself, if you will allow that to be your identity, your all that consumes you, just seek after me. That'll be enough. I said, seeking doesn't pay many bills, Jesus. I don't know what you're talking about. He goes, no, if you seek me, and as I've accepted that as a call, God, I was seeking God and it led me into outreach. And as I was seeking God, it led me to missions. And as I seek God, it led me to lead worship for a season. And as I sought God, it led me to leading students and youth. And as I sought God, it's led me all the way here, which thank God he didn't tell me at the time or I would have bailed real quick, okay? I just kept seeking and all of a sudden the next door opened and the next door opened and the next door. And I just kept seeking after God. And all of a sudden I look up and realize that he has directed my step because he has led me because I was a seeker. And I'm here to tell you today, that's not just my calling, it's yours. It's not just for me. That's you as well. that you were created and called to simply seek after God. Those that seek will find. So what is it that you seek? See, because as you seek after God, as you hear him more, sense him more, as you long for him more, as you desire him more, he just keeps directing your steps. Because you've shifted the focus from, God, help me do more, help me do more, help me do more. I gotta produce, I gotta make money, No, it's like, I just wanna be with you, God. So where are you leading? Where are you guiding? What do you have next for me? And you know why he makes you seek, right? You know why God asks us to seek him? I remember when I was younger, I would ask that question. I'm like, God, why do I have to look for you? Like, how come sometimes it feels so hard? Why can't you just show me? And he goes, I make you look because I love you. And here's why. Here's why. He makes us seek him because he loves us so much. This is why. If God showed off all of his glory, and if he was so, if he just came out and every morning was writing in the clouds, your plan, do this today. And if he was as obvious, and if he showed off truly all of his glory and his splendor and his majesty and his power, if he showed all of it off for us, it would rob us of our choice to love. Because he would be so obvious and so powerful and so magnificent, and his glory would be so consuming that it would steal you of your choice. And God loves you so much that he wanted to make sure you had the option to love him back or not. Are you getting this? I'm really trying to process this out with you guys, because I don't want to leave you guys confused. And the last thing I want to do is just talk about Hebrew words and Greek words and deep things. Then you go, man, I don't know what he's teaching about, but he was really excited. God hides not to not be found, but to leave the option in your hands for if you will serve and love or not. And if he displayed all of himself to us, it would take the option or the choice from us to serve him. He would be too powerful. He would be too glorious. His magic, he would be too overpowering. Like, he would fill this earth with his presence in a way that you would go, obviously we have to serve because he's the creator. He's too big. He's too much. We have to. There's no other choice if you really saw all of him. So because he loves you so much, in his love and humility for you, he chose to hide himself so that you would have the opportunity to love him. How awesome is our God? He's not hiding because he doesn't love you. He's hiding because he wants you to find him. Have you ever, this is kind of cheesy, and I don't know why I'm saying this on a Sunday, but there was this meme years ago where some paparazzi found Shaquille O'Neal on the streets and they were trying to take photos of him. So we started hiding behind a light post or like a tree. It was like a little street tree. Anyone ever seen this? Maybe I should not look at memes as much as I do. Anyway, Shaq, big old basketball player. He's huge, 7 feet tall. He's standing behind like this little tree. And he's like, and the meme is like, this man never won hide and seek a day in his life. Like, he is not hiding very well. That's God. Jesus, do they see us? Do they see me over here? Like, yeah, you're hiding behind the tree. Like, you're bigger than the tree. See, when you start to seek God, you're like, he's in the mountain, and he's in the sunrise, and he's in the sunset, and he's in the face of my child. And when my child was born, I was like, this is God. There's no other way around. Like, I could see God and his goodness. And when I went through the valley of the shadow of death, God was still there. And I was like, here is God. He's right here. His favor, his grace, his goodness. Like, I could, when you start to seek him, you're gonna find him. He's there. But you have to choose to seek. You have to look. Will you be someone that seeks God? Hey, man, come onto the stage. Help me play out this last point. How do I build that tree system, the roots of my life? How do I build that iceberg that there's more under the water than exposed? You got to seek. And then you have to abide. In John 15, here, throw this on the screen for me, guys. John 15, 4 says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. Unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you could do nothing. Abide in me and I in you. Abide. Abide. Just abide. Yeah, but I got to do. No, just abide. But if I got. No, just abide in him. But I need to do more. And I made this mistake. And I have to make up. And I got to earn it. And I got to deserve it. No, just abide. See, it goes back to this box that we misbuilt for what purpose is. But I got to tear that box down so you can understand that you are the purpose. You're the purpose. And your purpose is to place yourself before. So you're simply called to abide. Now, abiding isn't passive. It's actively staying connected. When you study it in the New Testament, you dig into the Greek, this word abide means to actively stay united or connected. So I will actively stay abiding in the presence of God. He is the vine, I'm the branch. I connect myself to him. So how does your life produce fruit? It connects to Jesus. How do you bear fruit? You stay connected. I stay abiding. I stay united. I stay in this constant place that I am the purpose and I place myself before him. He wants sons. He wants daughters. Everything else is an extra. Everything else is an add-on. Everything else is the fruit. It's the overflow. All these things will be added. Stop chasing the additions. Start being a son. Start being a daughter. Every morning, my middle kid, my Nora, man, she's a spitfire. She's like, girl's just got energy. She's not high on the physical touch, but I hug the crap out of her. I just adore her. Every morning, she knows it's coming too. And she'll walk up them stairs, see me, I come running out of my bathroom. Dad's getting his hug. It's a game now. See me running around the kitchen. I grab her, I lock her up. And every day she squirms. She's like, today's the day I'm getting out. I'm like, no, you're locked. I say, you're locked, you're locked. I'll jump on the bed. You're locked. It's the best part of my day, Nora. Dad's hugs. And then I finally let her go. She jumps up. Today was the day I got out. I was like, today was not the day. I released you. I just want her. I just love her. I don't care what she does. I want to make sure she knows I love her. As my little girl. That's all I want. And when God sees you, I could just see it in heaven. You wake up and he's like, me, 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 me. Me and Krista, we compete over it. I'll hear Levi usually come up after Nora. They share a room. He got some heavy feet. Just a tank. He's our cuddler. And oh man, I jack the hug first 9 times out of 10. I run for him, grab him. I don't care if he's already in mom's arms. It's my hug. Get over, bud. I hope he has good grades. I just want that hug. I just love him. Oh, I just love him. There is a Father in heaven. And he loved you so much that he sent his only son. He loved you first. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his love was first. And he's just like me. I just want to love you. And so many of us, we're just trying to do so much. And is that just that Father's heart? He just wants you to know that he loves you. And he's just like, me, come in. I love you. You're the purpose. It's always been you. It's always been you. And so many of us have submitted to this idea of purpose from the world. And so we're wearing ourselves out and we're living with so much fear and so much anxiety and we're living with so much works. And he's like, when did I ever tell you to do that? Do y'all have Psalms 27? Do y'all have that again or should I read that? Throw up Psalms 27 if you have it. It says, one thing that I've desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in his temple. It goes down to verse 8. And it says this, you have said, seek my face. My heart has said, your face, Lord, do I seek. One thing I desire, to dwell in your house. This is a psalm from David. He just said, God, the only thing I want is to be in your presence. I want to just dwell with you. And then he goes on to verse 8 and he goes, you have said, seek my face. And my heart cries back to you, your face will I seek. That's our life. That's our purpose. That's why we're here. One thing I want. One thing I'm gonna seek. I'm not seeking a kingdom. David had a lot to handle. He had kingdoms. He had armies. He had a tabernacle to build. He had a palace to build. He had a lot that God had put on his shoulders. And he said through all of it, through building a palace, through saving up the money for his son to build the first temple for the Lord, to expand the kingdom of Israel in the world at that time. He had a lot on his shoulders. And in the midst of everything that he was called to do, he said, I am only here to do one thing. One thing will I seek. One thing do I desire. I'm not here to build my palace. I'm not here to build your temple. I'm not here for the armies. I'm not here for war. I'm not here for expansion of your people's kingdom. One thing. Oh, that I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Lord, you have said to seek your face, and my heart responds, your face will I seek. You're the purpose. It's you. It's not what you do. It's not what you produce. It's always been you.
Thank you so much for joining with us today. I'm praying that you heard something that will impact your life. If you'd like more information, connect with us at the Christian Faith Church app or go to the website at christianfaith.us.